Welcome to Beauty and the Brain with your hosts, Dr. Chris Crowley and nurse practitioner Jerry Drinkard. Get ready to dive into the latest in revolutionary treatments, cutting-edge devices, and wellness secrets. Whether you're a consumer or provider, we're here to empower you at the forefront of beauty and aesthetics.
Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of Beauty and the Brain, the podcast where we discuss all things aesthetics. I'm your co-host, Dr. Chris Crowley.
And I'm Jerry Drinkard, family nurse practitioner, and together Chris and I own Skin and Tonic Med Spa that's located in Pace, Florida. And today we're very, very excited to have our next guest who we fell in love with her the second she opened her mouth. We met her when we were filming The Blocks, a reality show Chris and I filmed a few months ago. And I'm super excited.
Yeah, I'm so excited. Like, I want to cut Jerry off and not even let him do the introduction because I want to just, like, jump in and start talking to Courtney right away. So if she is a phenomenal entrepreneur. The first time I heard her give her introduction, my jaw dropped and I nearly fell out of my chair. And you guys are going to see why just in a few minutes when we talk to her. She has an amazing company, amazing premise. And, you know, something I think is really important, and one of the reasons we wanted to feature her on the podcast, one is her entrepreneurial skills. Obviously, we love that, and we love supporting other businesses and watching their startups. But really, she knows how to take a subject that can be uncomfortable and make it fun and entertaining and relatable to everybody out there. And it fits with a lot of our clients. A lot of people who are seeing us as patients want to know about some of these sorts of issues. We obviously talk about female sexual health issues and male sexual health issues a lot. And Courtney has taken this to another level with her business. So without really much further introduction, I want to let Courtney tell you about herself. She's the founder of Empowerotica. So Courtney, why don't you tell us about your business and you?
Hi. Yeah, I'm Courtney Heron. I am based out of Minneapolis, Minnesota. I have three small children, all girls, and then I'm pregnant with the fourth. Basically, I started my company with the idea of destigmatizing masturbation. And for me, it started because when I was probably seven, I think it wasn't the first time that I had self-pleasured, but it was something like that. And I remember thinking, oh my God, my dead grandpa is watching me and I should be ashamed of myself. I'm not even religious, so I don't even know where he was watching me from, but I was shameful and it felt weird and I didn't know who to talk to about it. Every time I would masturbate, I'm like, okay, I'll never do this again, I promise. Until the next time. I just don't want people to grow up feeling that shame because it bleeds into a lot of other things, like your confidence in who you are, in your relationships, even in the work life. Like, you don't even understand the ability that you have to self-pleasure, how powerful that is. I started selling sex toys and talking about masturbation. I do have some courses on how to really deepen a lot of other things like mindful masturbation. I teach people how to squirt, how to do blowjobs, how to, like, do more of those advanced techniques as well. But I do stick with a lot of the basics because I think that's really important.
But one of the things too, I think when you say things like that, a lot of people, especially we're in the South, we're in the Bible Belt, right? In a very conservative area, but they immediately go to porn. And this is not porn. It's not pornographic. And it's educational. It's instructional. It's informative, right? And so there is a difference.
Yes. So I get that misconception a lot. And even like through payment processors, when I've been working with other companies for that, they're like, we can't work with you because of X, Y, and Z. And I'm like, I don't think you really understand what I do. Because I am not a sex worker, although I don't shun any of that. I'm very supportive of that community. But it is not pornographic. None of my clothes ever come off. I am very educational. And I feel like it just opens up people's mind to have the conversation. That's my main point, is I just want people to talk about sex more.
I always say that it's uncomfortable until you talk about it. Once you start talking about it, then and people realize that you're not judging, then it truly does just like open the doors for everything. You know, I have like sexual health conversations with Botox patients. They're not even in there for that. And it opens the door to so many different avenues that they never realized that they would be coming in to talk about. And so removing that stigmatism, it really is a freeing thought for people because it's not something they can talk about often.
So tell us how you transitioned. So we know how you had this idea, right? Obviously, it started at a young age and around shame. But how did you have this idea to develop this into a business?
That was a pressure from friends and family. So I didn't realize that I could turn this into a business. It really was a passion of mine. I was selling just regular bedroom accessories as like a side hobby thing. It was just fun to like meet new people, take that experience of purchasing a bedroom accessory from the weird in-person, like sterile environment to a more comfortable environment. And then my social medias blew up and my friends were like, you gotta lean into that and think about all of the other people. Like I have clients now that are from across the world. I mean, not even just country, like the world. I've never been to. And the communication, they're having these conversations with me, with their partners. And I realized, wow, okay, so I can do courses and teach people the things that I've learned through either experience or my education or my background. I'm glad I finally had the push to do that.
So has your family, because you said your friends and family, so has your family been supportive of this the whole way? Because some families would kind of be a little hesitant.
Oh my God. So I will say they weren't surprised because I am definitely an eccentric person. I remember one day waking up, I knew how my parents had divorced. There was some trauma. It was a whole thing. I'm trying to put it so that if my dad ever comes across this, he won't feel bad because I love you, Dad. And I decided that I'm not going to let that hinder the experience that I have with him. So I was going to be proactive and actually speak about these things. And I think he was uncomfortable at first, but I'm hoping that he understands that it's very beneficial and it's helpful for people like him. Like I wish my dad would have had somebody like me way back when my parents were married, if that makes any sense. And then my mom has just always been the cheerleader. I could like run around selling my boogers and she would be like, yay, good job.
A lot of our listeners actually are aware and we do a lot of education for aesthetic providers and a lot of our patients obviously know that we've trademarked a couple of sexual health procedures more for the, you know, some of the medical issues around sexual performance as people age. We'll be 50 very soon and, you know, successful career, went to medical school. And I still find it like I haven't really broke it to my mom yet. So maybe if she hears this before the blocks is out, then I'm going to be known as the dick doctor from the blocks. So
I put that on my calendar, podcast with the dick doctor.
Oh my Lord. Yeah. So I understand. And that's why I'm asking, because it's like there's plenty of other things we talk about. And I told my sisters, I'm like, yeah, I got to break it to her before it comes out, because I'm sure she'll watch it. And as I'm saying, you know. Yeah, I'm Dr. Chris Crowley. Also,
they're not going to leave that out.
The dick doctor, that for sure, it will not be left out.
It will make it for sure. Going back to your dad, not pointing fingers at him, but it does kind of open the door to the conversation about the importance and the connection between sexual health and mental health or emotional health. You want to talk a little about that? Because I know we had some conversations during the blocks about this, but just the importance of how one impacts the other.
Yeah, so they actually go hand in hand. A lot of times, especially for women, I see their libidos are really low and they think it's because they're just really busy, which they probably are. But I feel like a lot of it stems back to mental health. And when you can put the two together and create like a harmonious language, it helps. Now, I don't think masturbation is going to solve mental health. I think that it's a really good tool that you can lean into and when done correctly can create something really beautiful.
So when you start conversations or have some of the people who see your business or want to learn more about it, do you find that it's more a lack of like knowledge? So I know you teach tools and you sell accessories and ways to make it more pleasurable, more fun. But there's also, as you mentioned early, the stigma around it. So do you focus more on the actual physical act and how they can make this more fun and pleasurable, or more on the stigma around it and how to really decrease those mental barriers so they can enjoy the experience?
That's a really good question. And I'll start by answering with, I will never forget this. A woman from my hometown, very small town in northern Minnesota. I thought we were fairly educated, except for in that sense. She messaged me before COVID, so it had been years ago, and she's like, I have a really weird question to ask you. I'm like, well, yeah, okay, try me. She's like, is it normal if I'm not squirting out fluid from my vagina that I'm having an orgasm? Like, it feels really good, but I don't know if I'm actually having it because it's not the same as it is in porn. And I'm like, that is literally the foundation of most people's sexual education is porn, which I, again, also, I think porn is great. I think you can use it for as a tool, but it is not the foundation for where you can get your education. So people are scared that they're not doing things correctly. They might think that they're broken, which makes them not want to perform or do things or feel as confident in the bed. And then they're relating it back to something that's completely fantasy. That's what porn is. It's not real. It was really nice for me to be able to explain to her that, yes, you probably are still having an orgasm. And most people don't actually exert fluid from their vagina when they reach a climax. Did I answer your question?
Yes, you answered it. But I'm still wondering, like, in general, how do you address the mental barrier? So I'll tell you what made me think about that. So in our office, we are dealing with more of some of the actual physical problems. So perimenopausal, vaginal dryness, vaginal atrophy. So some of these things that may have been pleasurable at one point actually hurt now. And so it's something that we have to, you know, obviously we have a different set of tools in our toolbox than you have available. So we have lasers and, you know, we can talk about hormonal optimization and things like that. But to get to that conversation, I find it's very difficult because people just assume it's part of aging, part of getting older, and they don't want to talk about the actual physical changes that are occurring because there is a mental issue around that topic that we should just accept it. And it's part of aging and we all lose it. So we have to find a lot of creative ways to bring those barriers down. And you know, so we put books around the office, you know, how to obtain an orgasm that's free. And they just pick it up. They don't even want to talk to us about it, but they go and read about it and they realize like, oh, hey, there are some actual physical things that maybe they can address. And then once we ever get the conversation started, we can then have, you know, an informed discussion about some of the physical things that we can address with our tools. And like I said, it's very different than what you're doing. The two are very complementary, you know, because I do think it's really necessary what you're doing because I don't know all the tools. I don't know what all education that you offer. But I know that for us, we're looking more at the physical causes. And the same thing for the males. The men, and that's what we were really on the blocks for and probably you heard more about. So that's how, you know, we were known as the Dick Docs because we're addressing this in females and males, but we really focus on males for that part of the business course and what we can do for males as they experience erectile dysfunction. Because they also don't really want to talk about these things. They may feel that it's, you know, until it's totally broken and not doing anything, that's when they'll seek treatment.
Yes. And sometimes that's like, we could have prevented.
How do you decrease the mental barriers to get people to even look at your courses or look at your tools that can help them physically?
It depends on the person. I would say sometimes I will be very weird in my videos, like holding up like a double ender or something. And people are like, I got to see what that's all about. What's going on here? And then, you know, I'll drop in some tidbits and information. Really pertaining the vaginal health side of things, I start by education where I let people know that you don't have to be wet in order to be horny. And in fact, you should always be using lubricant, even if you are wet, because that wetness is generally only the opening of the vagina. Plus, it can dry out mid-thrust. A penis is porous. So once you put that in there, it's going to absorb all of your, you know, moisture anyway. And so using that lubricant is going to help with micro tears, prolapse, you know, all of the things. And then they're like, oh my God. Okay. So lubricant, I got to use the lubricant. And then just, I think getting people to just start using lubricant would just open up the conversation a lot.
Well, I don't know if we told you the story when we were there or not, but, you know, it's interesting because we had a guy coming in, his wife brought him in, which is often the case. It's a female bringing in the male partner. for one of the erectile dysfunction treatments, and he went all the way through with getting the injections in his penis, and towards the end of it was like, it's really not a problem. Like, I have no problem masturbating, but when I have sex with my wife, it's really dry and it doesn't feel good and he can't maintain the erection. But rather than telling her that, I'm like, so you just paid thousands of dollars to get injections in your penis when lubricant could have addressed the issue, but he didn't want to have the conversation with his wife because he didn't want her to feel bad. So I think there's all sorts of combinations of this that you can see, from barriers that people have around shame or thinking something's really abnormal to them, so they don't talk to their partners about it, their healthcare providers about it, and sometimes they'll do some extreme things to avoid those conversations.
I think that's where I come into play, because I'm a third party. People tell me the craziest things. So one of the things that it comes down to is that communication. It's you have to talk about that stuff with your partner. And the only way that people will be comfortable doing that is if they truly understand their body too. Now I'm thinking about your situation. I wonder if the woman in your situation also felt the same way, because she was dry and she's like, this is terrible. How do I get this fixed?
Yeah.
Well, they probably both feel the same way, but neither of them is saying anything.
Talk to each other.
I do think that's part of where the third party comes in and can make something easy, because you would think it would be easiest to have an intimate conversation with the person that you love the most, your partner. But sometimes, like, I mean, Chris and I have had these conversations, and sometimes you fall into routines and you fall into ruts, if you want to call it a rut, and you do what's your normal, and that's kind of where you are. And anytime you veer from that normal, you do question, like, is it going to be okay with him? Is it going to be okay with her? And so, you know, and the other person's probably having the exact same thoughts that you're having. And so I think that having that third party there can make an uncomfortable conversation a little bit easier.
I agree too. And sometimes I'm putting myself in the position of like a 40-year-old woman, probably the most, like the most of us, with not a lot of sexual health and education information, to open up a conversation like that, but then not have anything to say back. Like, I don't know why it hurts when we have sex, but it does. Like, not have a solution behind it can be also daunting. So then it pushes them to not want to even have that conversation, where I can guide the conversation, figure out these little things, and then help pick out those aha moments. And literally, sometimes it's just as simple as just using a lubricant.
I want to ask you a lube question, because, I mean, obviously, as two gay males, I don't know a lot about women's issues. So are there different types of lubricants that are more ideal or more suited for certain women versus others?
Yeah, I love that question, because it's kind of complicated, but generally people start with a water-based lubricant. And then if you're more dry, sometimes you're on a medication, like you're like an antidepressant or an anxiety med, or that Accutane, I know for sure, will dry out your body. And then menopause, perimenopause as well, can cause you to be extra dry. You might want to use something heavier, like a silicone base. I'm impartial about coconut oil, because I use coconut oil as a lubricant in the bathroom, and also for anything anal. But the one thing you want to be steering, you just want to be like mindful of, is coconut oil is antibacterial, or it has antibacterial properties, which can throw off the pH inside your vagina. So you want to make sure that your lubricant is the pH balancing and not antibacterial. Now, I don't know that coconut oil is technically antibacterial. I think it has antibacterial properties. I still really like it, but just to be safe. So if you're very sensitive to yeast infections or UTIs, I wouldn't even use coconut oil. I would use a water-based lubricant.
So why coconut oil for anal?
It doesn't dry out, and it smells really good.
Okay, things that we learn.
And it's edible.
So what about, and again, I don't know tons about this, but what about the friction created with the different ones? I mean, I've seen different advertisements that talks about some with more friction are more pleasurable for the male partner, but is that a thing or not a thing, really?
I think it is a thing, but it's a personal preference. And sometimes you can use more of like a lotion-y based lubricant that gives you a little bit more friction. The silicone is going to be definitely more slippery and slidey. It's really silky. it's not really natural, if you know what I mean. Your body doesn't absorb it, which is perfect for shower play. So if you're in the water, you want to use a silicone or the coconut oil. And then the water base is going to be more natural feeling. It's designed to be like the vaginal secretions, generally, if you get a good one.
So I think, I mean, even that sort of like conversation will help so many people, because I think they're even embarrassed to go. So they know about KY and they go look in the aisle at Walmart and they see the options and they don't know what to do beyond that. They just grab one because they don't want to have people see them sitting there and studying the different ones. So they just grab what's in front of them, hurry up, and hope they can pay with no one seeing.
Yep. And the next thing you know, they have like a who even knows. I will say too, that always breaks my heart that people will try the KY jelly and they're like, I don't like lube. Like, okay, girlfriend, there is like a million other types. Like, let's find you one that you do love. You know, like, it doesn't have to be that specific brand from the, that you don't even know what you grabbed. It was just purple.
Yeah. Hurry up, get it and put it in the bag.
Yep.
So what is your favorite? I know that you have tons of different accessories. So what is your favorite accessory? What is, maybe not personally, but your best selling one now?
1 second. Okay. So it's a couple's toy, but you can also use it for solo. So it starts like this.
Okay.
And when you insert it and you bend it up like this, this bump right here hits your G-spot and buzzes up against there. And then you have this part hitting your clitoris. So then you have both G-spot and clitoral, and the penis feels bigger because you put a penis in there and it kind of pushes this up. So they feel it. They feel the buzzing sensations. The way that it's tapered right here in the middle is how it stays in, because the vagina kind of like hugs around it and pulls it like this. I will probably never not sell that type of toy. It's just incredible. And then it bends back.
And when we release this podcast, we'll obviously put links to everything so they can get this through you. Is this where they would find this?
Okay. I can.
Yeah, so we'll put these links to where people can find this. So those of you who are interested in listening and want to see more of this, one, you can go to our YouTube channel if you want to see what Courtney just demonstrated. I know a lot of you listen. So if you want to see the toy, you need to go and look on our YouTube channel. But if you want to order it, we'll also put links in there so you can find where you can get some of these different lubes and toys and supplies, and also more from Courtney.
Anytime I get an email or a text or a Facebook message, I don't like, all of that stuff is free, by the way. Like, I want to get the conversations going. So when people are communicating with me, but with that being said, I get a lot of them. So it takes me a hot minute to get back. So if I don't respond within 3 business days, it's not that I don't like you. It's just that I also am doing a million other things.
So do you feel that, I know these conversations are difficult and taboo. Do you feel that they're getting easier with the newer generations?
They are going to save our lives. I mean, they actually are the generation. So I'm a millennial, and I think we were kind of trying to break those barriers, but maybe didn't know how. Generation Z is like off the charts. I don't even know what they're doing anymore. I love it. I'm supportive, and I'm learning from them as well. They just don't give any fucks, is what I've noticed. I think we have nothing to worry about for them.
Yeah.
As far as taboos go.
That being said, definitely a more personal question. Feel free not to answer it. But I'm kind of curious, what are you doing with your girls to help not, perpetuate these taboos?
That is one of my favorite questions to answer, actually.
Okay.
Partly because I don't know the answer. And I think that's, as a mom, something that we just have to realize, that sometimes you don't know what to say or what to do, and you just do what you think is best in the moment, and you stick with that. So for me, my plan, my girls are 5, 3, and 1. They know what I do. They come into my office. They see the things. They'll ask me, and we use proper terminology. So we don't call it a crotch or... what did I call it growing up? A pee-pee. It's a vulva and a penis. And there's testicles and breasts and nipples. Like, we have all of these conversations. So they know, first of all, because that will save them if they're ever being sexually abused and somebody uses a different term. They can, you know, they'll be able to communicate with whomever they need to. So that was my reasoning behind that. But so that they... Okay, did they ever talk about masturbation when you were in school?
No, that came after. Yeah, that came after, like, I mean, we're both, I'll be 50 in a month or so, and Jerry's 50. So, I mean, that our generation, you know, it was definitely more like the birds and the bees, and don't have sex ever. If you do have sex, make sure you wear a condom. But then it wasn't really, you know, it was more fear-based. You're going to get somebody pregnant, you're going to get a horrible disease and die, and you'll never get rid of it.
And I was taught by a PE coach.
Okay, ours was also, or a nurse at the school. PE coach, poor guy. I remember mine, and anytime they said the word masturbation, everybody was like giggling. And I want my girls to be the ones in the class that can be like, what's so funny? Like, there is nothing funny about that. It's super empowering. So I'm playing it by ear. I'm just kind of, you know, I don't want to be too open. I obviously never let them see anything graphic, which I don't really do anyways. But if I'm communicating with a client and we're talking about pornography, I will not let my children in. They don't come in for when I have meetings or sessions like this, but they ask questions, and I'm fairly honest.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think kids see through that even at a young age. I think being age appropriate and honest is the best you can do.
Yes.
And I love what you said, you know, in the beginning about you have a play on, but you don't know if that works, because I think all of us look back at our childhood and think how we would do things differently if we had kids. Jerry and I don't have kids, but I also think from, you know, looking at my parents, Jerry's parents, my sisters, his sisters, and many of our friends, I think you do the best you can with the information at the time. And you know, as you get older, you realize that your parents did the best and give, you know, I know I give mine a lot more grace now than when I was in my early 20s and thought they were, you know, ruining my life. And so,
always, because we're going to ruin their lives anyways.
Yeah.
Well, so are they going to blame?
Yep, right. Exactly. It's always mom's fault.
I do love that. It's a really beautiful thing to get to that point where you do see that your parents did what they could with what they had.
And, yeah, it takes a while. It takes a minute. We all hate our parents in the late teens. I'm watching now. She'll kill me for mentioning it on here, but I'm, you know, watching my sister go through this with my niece. She's 18, graduating in a week and a half, and they fight more than not. So the two of them are at each other. They love each other dearly, but at the same time, it's like a constant battle. And one says black and the other sees it as white all the time, period. And I'm like, you'll get past it. It takes a little bit, but you'll get past it.
It does. It has to.
Well, I really want to thank you for taking time to talk to us today. Any final words that you have before we close this episode out?
Just make sure that you masturbate daily.
There you go. Well, I'll tell you a quick story on that. Interesting enough, on our podcast, so we had Dr. Betsy Greenleaf, a month or so back, and she's the first female board-certified urogynecologist. And I'm sure you're aware of this, but, you know, May is Masturbation Month.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, so we can't have a show about masturbation and not mention that we're filming this in May. I'm not sure when it'll be released, but we are filming this during Masturbation Month. And so Betsy, Dr. Greenleaf, being the first female board-certified urogynecologist, she she's an influencer for one of the sex toy companies, and it talks a lot about use it or lose it, female masturbation. She's very empowering to women. And we had her on the show, the podcast, and we got a lot of, you know, kind of pushback about that. Like, how can you talk about this? How are you qualified?
It's disgusting.
It's disgusting. We got a lot of positive feedback as well, but it was interesting to see the reaction. And I was like, of all people, if you talk about qualifications, she's a female, middle-aged, board certified in urology and gynecology, you know, telling you the importance of doing this for many reasons, and as we're talking about with you today as well. So I love the fact that your one thing was like masturbate daily. That's your final words, because it pretty much was her advice as well.
Hopefully she comes across this.
Oh yeah, she will. She'll tune in for sure. We certainly appreciate it and appreciate you taking time to be with us, and can't wait to see you grow and have your fourth baby. Is this the end? You have more after this?
Oh God, no. I'm done.
and due in August, right?
Yeah, end of August, early September.
Everyone, thank you for tuning in for another episode of Beauty and the Brain. We look forward to seeing you again next week.
See you soon.